And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. Michael Cohen, Green and Gold Insider with The Athletic, 820. Kevin Payne, Fantasy Football Help, 835. Talk a little bit of Rodgers today as well, and then some more Bucks Warriors a little later on. We'll hear from Rodgers right now. Then we're going to do a little exercise in the 9 o'clock hour because we keep saying, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I'd take him over most of the quarterbacks in this league.
Anybody says that's an idiot. Oh, no. I should say.
Whoa. What?
No, I thought you said something else. I thought you said there's other quarterbacks I'd take ahead of him in this league. My bad.
No, that's the game we're going to play in the 9 o'clock hour.
No, I misread you.
And it's not for, like, the future. It'll be for the rest of 2018.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Rodgers or Jared Goff? Would you rather have Rodgers or Drew Brees? And we'll try to figure out if he's a top 10 quarterback for the rest of 2018. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. This is what we're going to do right now with Aaron Rodgers because we've been very critical, I think, or people have like wanted to be but are hesitant to because it is Rodgers. But there are some things and some areas where he is failing this year, and he was asked about those, so we'll get Rodgers' thoughts on him. Instead of just speculating with completion percentage and overthrows and throwaways and stuff like that, as Rodgers talked at his locker yesterday. One thing that Chuck and I like to specifically point out every time any athlete gives an interview is what questions were asked by the sports department from that station and which questions were asked by the news department from that station. Because what will happen sometimes is there are sports figures all over this city and all over this country that do interviews for sports. But sometimes sports intersects with news. So what the news producers will say to the sports anchors is, make sure you ask Aaron Rodgers a question about the election. So Aaron Rodgers was asked, do you have any comments about the election, local, national, or otherwise? His response?
No.
That was it.
Shocking.
Shocking. He didn't say, like, his political affiliations one way or the other. He didn't say, well, I just, you know, it's a good process. Everyone should vote. I understand that. He didn't say any of that. He just said
no.
And that was that.
I'd like to hear how that exactly how it was framed, but yeah, he's not going to say anything.
He was asked, do you have any comments about the election, local or otherwise? And he said
no.
Okay, like so. we like to read into Aaron in his body language and what he says in his tone. What would you read into that?
Why are you asking me this?
Why would you?
No.
Means he's unhappy at the election?
I don't know. Means he didn't want it to be a story, which it's not, so we have some fun. Aaron Rodgers, though, was asked a lot about some of the things that he is failing at, and one of those would be his completion percentage. Right now it's about 60%, which is not good. I mean, tops in the league is around 75. 60% puts him in line with rookies in some of these guys that are struggling. Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, these kind of guys. He was asked why his completion percentage is down.
No.
Okay, Rodgers, you got to answer this one.
I don't think that you can draw a complete equals between completion percentage and accuracy. When I'm throwing the ball, I'm throwing it where I want it. If I say I missed a throw, that means that I missed a spot by, you know, 6 inches or however much I missed it by. We've just had a number of throwaways based on the coverages, so we got to keep finding ways to get guys into one or two spots open on time, and when they're open, I gotta make the throws.
Yeah, 6 inches, because like
the 6 inches in front of your face.
Yeah, when we think of him missing, you would think by a few yards missing, but he's talking like a matter of inches. It's like a golfer. You know, when a golfer is chipping in a ball, or he's pitching from, you know, 150 yards out or 120 yards out, they talk a matter of inches of getting with that hole. And that's what Rodgers is talking about here.
Yeah, but he's also missing the green on a lot of his par three drives.
Well, yeah, but he didn't. But that's not what he thinks. He thinks he's missing by inches.
Well, he needs to look at the tape then.
Yeah.
Rodgers, one thing he is doing is throwing the ball away more. If he doesn't have a play, if there's good coverage, as there was a lot on Sunday night, he'll throw the ball away more instead of forcing something. Obviously, he doesn't want to throw an interception, or maybe he's not quick enough to scramble away, or he doesn't. He just doesn't take the underneath thing that he could have. There were some plays on Sunday where he could have dumped it off to Williams and get 3 yards, but instead he just kind of threw it away. He was asked why those numbers are up.
No, I think this guy's being open. You know, if the guy's open, I'm going to pull the trigger. But if guys are covered and I can't extend it, then you have to find a place to go with the ball that's our guys or nobody's.
All right. Well, you know, Aaron, did he take ownership of his play or not? Because after games, he's always taken ownership of his games. Then I feel like once he gets back during the week and he has his little media gathering in front of his locker, Bart, I don't feel he's just as emotional, I'd say, about his play.
Yeah, all right. So he kind of, I don't know, maybe not took ownership on the completion percentage, maybe not on the throwaways. How about he was also asked about this? He referenced this earlier. He was asked about his accuracy, Aaron Rodgers.
I've had an unnatural amount of throwaways this year. I would say the majority of those is coverage throwaways. You know, so that, I think that's been a big contributor to the completion percentage. But yeah, it's lower than we'd like it.
Okay, because
he's choosing to have that lower percentage
because guys aren't open.
That's what he is saying.
Yeah. And that's been times, you know, there's been times he's done that where he's throwing the ball into the stands or onto the sidelines and, you know, the tight ends coach is making the catch over there. I've seen that happen a few times. But so, that's not the reason why. I don't think that's the reason why.
If you ask me about the Packers and how they're going to fare the rest of the season, I don't think it's going to be good. But you're hesitant to say that. I am, at least, because the last few years they've kind of been in this spot. And Aaron Rodgers, it says he's either spelled out the word relax or he said run the table. And he was asked if he has one of those catchphrases. He was asked, do you have a run the table type thing to say? Do you have a relax type thing to say? You're pretty much in the same spot. Can you come up with something?
Well, you asked a question, so it's not authentic. I mean, those two were authentic responses to questions. So when prompted, I just, you know, feel like we got to play better consistently, 60 minutes, you know, trying to eliminate some of the lulls that we've been having. But, you know, we got to play with confidence and play up to the level we're capable of playing.
Yeah, and last 2 weeks, fourth quarter mistakes, one in each quarter, have really killed these guys. The fumble by Jones and then, of course, the Montgomery fumble 2 weeks ago. That's really been the... That's been the turning point of the game.
So no relax.
No.
No run the table.
No save, you know, win one for Mike.
No win one for Mike. There was one point in the press conference where he kind of said something non-scripted that I think the Packers could use it as an indication for this season, kind of like a run the table phrase or an relax phrase. Rodgers, can the Packers make the playoffs this year?
No.
And that's how you tie a segment together. How about that?
Okay.
How about that? Come on.
He's already counting them out, huh?
Well, I am.
Aaron, any chance you dating Olivia ever again?
I don't want to say no on that one. I still root for those two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does Aaron have to say, though?
No.
Okay.
You're open to comeback story?
I don't know.
Comeback of the year?
I don't know. I guess I am. No, no offense to Danica.
Happens in wrestling.
Yeah, that's true. It happens in real life.
Yeah. Does it?
People date and then go and then come back. Yeah. Sure.
No. I think what's dead is dead. What is done is done. You know, digging up old bones? No.
No.
Come on, you two.
Aaron.
Get with it.
Yeah.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins. We'll talk to Michael Cohen here momentarily about some of the stuff that is bothering Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Yes, we will. Michael Cohen coming up here in a moment. Now, if in the bedroom happens, that's not great. But that is something that you can fix. 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss and skincare and sexual wellness, all for men. Sexual performance issues, more common than you think. Not just for old dudes. 25% of new ED cases.
No.
It sucks, but they do happen to guys under 40. So here's what typically will happen. If that happens, you know about the blue pill, all right? And you don't want to pay for it. So you don't want to tell anyone about it either. So you go like the websites and you just try to find all this weird stuff. You don't have to do that anymore. Blue Pill's off patent. They can get it for you at 4hymns.com and they can connect you with people so that you don't have to, it maybe it's not as embarrassing as like talking to your buddies about it. 4hymns.com, Chuck, one-stop shop, hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for guys.
Yeah, thanks to science, ED can become optional and you don't have to go to the convenience store. You don't have to go to the gas station and see those, you know, creams or whatever, pills. Those things never work. Those supplements, those counter supplements, that never gets a job done. No waiting room, no awkward in-person visits. I mean, let's face it, guys don't like going to the doctor. We should at times go to the doctor for certain things, but for this, who wants to go to the doctor? Save hours by going to 4hymns.com. It's very easy. You're going to get the doc on the phone line. He's going to ask you a couple of questions. You answer them, and then the products are going to be shipped right to your door. It's really easy. It's not going to take a lot of time. You can do this thing while you're driving from one end of the town to the other. It's so easy to do. Now, severe ED, as Bart was saying, they're just not for the, you know, the older guys, the rich old guys, especially in bathtubs. It affects men in their 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever. Being your best means performing your best, and 4hymns.com is the way to go because they can connect you with real doctors, and they can help you treat that ED. Hard made easy. Say hello to your big friend.
No.
Actually, yes, after this. Aaron, try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. So go to 4hymns.com, wink5, F-O-R-H-I-M-S.com /wink5, 4hymns.com /wink5.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Fantasy football help in about 15 minutes. You can tweet in your questions at 105.7FM The Fan. Use the hashtag AskKevin. And Kevin Payne will join us, rotowire.com. You can also call at that time, 799-1250. That's probably the easiest way to get to Kevin. Also email live at 1057fmthefan.com. Michael Cohen joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our insider with The Athletic. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Mike, I guess it's no surprise, or it shouldn't be, that you know all these players that the Packers might not be interested, or you know the front office guys, everybody's going to Cleveland these days, and Jermaine Whitehead, no exception. Any behind the scenes that you know about that, the natural pipeline that seems to be developed between Green Bay and Cleveland?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, right? You know, Elliot Wolf, John Dorsey, and Alonzo Highsmith are all there, as well as, I believe, another member of the scouting department, too. So, you know, they're guys that have been here and believed in the players that were here for various reasons. And so they, if there's somebody here that got released, then they want to give that person another chance. And, you know, obviously it hasn't always worked out. They also claim Justin Vogel and Jeff Janis, and both of those guys are unemployed right now. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because Cleveland's taking them that the Packers are giving up on good players. It just means that Cleveland believes philosophically, you know, very similar things to what the Packers believe philosophically. And so if there's guys that they like, they're going to take them on another chance.
Could you look at it this way? That, and I think this is something new, that everybody in that front office not on the same page, because Gutekunst might have liked one guy and maybe Elliot Wolf or one of those other guys liked somebody better or didn't like this guy. There was, you know, different opinions on certain guys on that team.
Well, I think that's probably the case with every organization everywhere. You know, not every scout is going to like the same player, and that's why they have those meetings before the draft where everybody goes around the room and shares their opinion on certain guys, and there's always disagreement. That's normal in every front office, so I don't think it's an indication of splintering or fracturing or anything specific to Green Bay. That's just how it goes. The chances of, you know, 20 different scouts or personnel guys liking the same exact player the same exact way is pretty slim. So I don't necessarily think that that's a sign of anything unique in Green Bay.
Michael Cohen with The Athletic joining us, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. There was a clip from NFL Films going around with Bill Belichick talking to his defense from Sunday night.
Hey, the pass rush is what we want. We just got to keep doing it. Hey, we got to keep doing it for 60 minutes. The pass rush is what we want, all right? Keep working the dropping out of those guards, keep in a pocket. He's trying to throw us two interceptions now. We're going to get one. All right, he's just lobbing it up there. That's a great job. Keep pressing him. If he runs backwards, all right, then run him out of bounds. That's great. All right, let's stay with that rush now.
Michael, you had asked McCarthy kind of about that video and about that the way that Belichick was talking to his defense, his response.
You know, there's things that are said on both, you know, both sidelines too. So, mic'd up or not mic'd up. And I think more importantly, you know, there's a mindset and approach at everything. So, you know, we're trying to kick the shit out of everybody's guards too when we play. That's the reality of the game of football.
You can speak to his answer on the question, but I think for me, when I first saw that, it was sort of just the difference of approach coaching during the game. And this may just be what I'm privy to seeing, but I do see Belichick. I see more moments like that where he's in the guy's face during the games. He's involved, and McCarthy's kind of like, I always say he just stands at the same spot of the field and is like constantly confused about what's going on around him. There's certainly a different style between the way these two guys coaches, and it seemed like McCarthy almost took a little bit of offense to that.
Well, it's difficult to evaluate because one guy has play calling responsibilities and one guy doesn't. Bill Belichick doesn't call the plays on offense and he doesn't call the plays on defense. So he has more free time, so to speak, during a game to go and meet with individual units and individual guys. McCarthy has to call the offense. So when the offense is on the field, he can't be talking to the defense. And when the defense is on the field, he has to be getting ready to call the plays on the next series. So I'm not sure exactly how that works because I haven't focused on enough other head coaches around the league to see if guys who are play callers have the time to go and meet with individual players or position groups along the sideline. But to me, the reason I ask the question is because I think the Packers have enormous weaknesses at guard this season. And we've seen the last few weeks that Lane Taylor is not playing good football at all. And obviously they've already made a change at right guard, which tells you that they weren't happy enough with Justin McCray. And now Byron Bell is starting to become a weak link as well. So I thought it was just fascinating that another coach, you know, was basically willing to say, we're going to go out there and we're going to keep beating your guards left and right, and that's going to be our key to success. Because if you have pressure right up the middle, that's even more dangerous than pressure off the edge. And so if the Packers are not able to figure out how to get their guards to play better or at least protect them enough to where their deficiencies are not, you know, crippling, then it's going to be a big problem for the Packers over and over and over again. And I think this is something that they probably didn't expect that they would have to deal with coming into the season. They probably believed Justin McCray would be good enough at right guard. And based on what Lane Taylor had done in years past, they probably thought that he would be steady enough as well. But Lane Taylor has been really, really poor the last couple of weeks, especially. He's leading the team in sacks allowed, and it's been a big problem for them.
At what point do they move on from Brian Bulaga? I mean, he's hurt, not because of his play, but because he's hurt so often and he's banged up, and it's like, what does that guy left get left? Because it's, I feel like every other game he's coming out because of some sort of injury.
Well, it's a tricky question because would you rather have somewhere between 12 and 16 games of Brian Bulaga, or would you rather have 16 games of Jason Spriggs and Byron Bell? And, you know, obviously I think you'd take the portion that you can get with Bulaga every time. Now, when do they address it moving forward? Well, don't forget, I mean, they drafted an offensive lineman this year, and because of personal reasons, he never reported. And, you know, Cole Madison wanted to be in contention for not only the right guard spot, but he also wanted to show the Packers that he could play tackle. So it's not as if they haven't tried to address it at all. They certainly haven't used a first-round pick like they did with Bulaga, but they haven't gone that high with an offensive lineman since Bulaga. So It'll be interesting to see how things play out, but I think at the end of the day, this team is better if Brian Bulaga is on the field. So even if he can only be on the field for two-thirds of the games or three-quarters of the games or whatever, I think they'd rather have that than a full season of Jason Spriggs.
Michael Cohen with The Athletic. Make sure to check out his piece every week, the 10 things, analyzing 10 things each and every week from every game. And one of the things you talked about this week was the linebacking core, where Nick Perry was non-existent, and McCarthy says that's because of injury, sure. And then Oren Burks kind of benched in this one with Antonio Morrison stepping up and getting a sack at one point, but him having to play more because of Burks. Where do they try to look at like the linebacking core this weekend? Who are they going to see, hopefully, to produce? Is it going to be more Antonio Morrison? Do we have to really get to know this guy? Or is Nick Perry at some point, I mean, I don't know how long, if he's not healthy, don't play him, but apparently that's the excuse.
Well, Morrison and Perry play different positions. You know, Perry's an outside linebacker, Morrison's an inside linebacker. So whether or not those two guys are on the field, they don't really have any correlation to each other. You know, I think that at the inside linebacker position, a lot of it is going to depend on Blake Martinez and whether or not he can play this week. You know, obviously he came back from that ankle injury and finished Sunday's game, but McCarthy said he was dealing with serious swelling. He had a pretty big sleeve on his ankle walking around the locker room, and I don't think it's a given that he'll be on the field this week. He was a limited participant in practice yesterday, and today is the padded practice, so that'll be the best indication for him. You know, Perry's going to continue to play. I mean, it's not a serious enough situation where they're going to bench him. It's just you have to temper your expectations, I think, with what you're going to get from Nick Perry, both because of the recovery from the ankle injury and also just from general inconsistency, which has been his pattern all season long. So, yes, I do think Morrison is going to have to play more again this weekend, simply because Oren Burks is nowhere close to being ready. And unless they move Josh Jones to that hybrid linebacker position full-time, you know, I think you're going to have to see Morrison more in the game, especially, you know, on obvious running situations or early downs when, you know, teams aren't sure if there's going to be run or pass. And so I don't think there's going to be any change in the playing time. I think Morrison will play. I think Perry will play. And it's just a matter of whether or not Perry can be more consistent to give the Packers something off the edge.
Trevor Davis is coming off injured reserve. It's going to help the return game, no doubt. Do you think he'll get any reps at receiver with Geronimo Allison possibly out for the rest of the season?
I don't really think so. I mean, they could throw him in there occasionally as kind of a gadget guy on like a reverse or something like that. Sort of what we used to see with Jeff Janis, you know, maybe 3-4 times a game at most. But, you know, the Packers are obviously really, really high on Valdes-Scantling, and for good reason. And Rodgers is also pretty high on Equanimeous St. Brown. So I think with those four guys plus the three tight ends that they use, you don't really need Trevor Davis at receiver. So I expect him to basically be a kickoff return and punt return specialist, and it was the right choice to bring him back off IR. I know there's people that want to see Jake Kumerow, but the bottom line was Trevor Davis was the right player to bring back off IR, given the needs that they have on special teams right now.
Michael Cohen, find more of his work at The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, Michael_Cohen13. We will talk to you about this Dolphins matchup tomorrow, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
Michael Cohen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. Oh, if you're looking for a place to watch the game, Freems, on Sunday,
Any day.
Tonight,
yeah.
Tomorrow.
Whenever. Yeah, the Q Club of Wisconsin. That's your place to watch all your favorite sports action. Might be heading out there this afternoon, grabbing a little lunch this afternoon before I join our friend Bill Michaels later on tonight.
You going to hit the billiards tables?
Possibly that. Maybe the huge entertainment room with the billiards, the tornado foosball, the shuffleboard, the electronic darts, the ping pong, and a whole lot more. All your friends, you can get them to come over to the Q Club, watch games, hang out. Well, again, go to the huge entertainment room. The Q Club has also the area's only indoor bocce ball league. It's ready. They're up and ready to go, the two courts. And you can either play as a group, join up to one of their leagues. You can start playing right away. No matter what your food preference is, the Q Club is also terrific for that. They got the awesome burgers, the wings, the appetizers, the award-winning fish fries. The fish fries are so good, man. They got them on Fridays, and the demand is so huge, they're going to have it on Wednesdays as well. So you're going to get four different styles piled high with all the extras. The Friday night fish fry, that is something that is going on tomorrow night. But let's say you're not a fish fry fan. The menu is so extensive, the burgers, the sandwiches and all that, the appetizer, it is all good to go. The happy hour specials from 3 until 7. Tomorrow, the late night happy hour starting at 10 o'clock every Friday night with that. Visit their Facebook page for the live entertainment. And if you're planning a holiday party, the Q Club certainly can help you out in that area. They have private rooms there available with your own VIP suite, the luxury pool table in there as well. So get out to the Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha, north side of town, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. That's Highway T. Take the 94 freeway out to Highway T, go south, which is left, and you are good to go. About a half mile, you'll see the sign, Q Club of Wisconsin. You'll go in the parking lot there, enjoy a great meal, enjoy all your favorite sports action with the volume turned up on the game, and, of course, their huge entertainment room as well. North side of Waukesha on Grandview Boulevard, the Q Club of Wisconsin.
The fantasy football portion of the program coming up momentarily. Your questions that you've been tweeting in, use the hashtag AskKevin at 1057FMTheFan, and we'll try to get to as many of those as we can. We will also try to get to as many of the emails as we can live at 1057FMTheFan.com. I'm telling you, quickest way, easiest way is to call 799-1250. If you have a question, fantasy football help, 414-799-1250.
It's time to get expert advice. Fantasy football players, call 799-1250 right now and have your questions answered by rotowire.com's fantasy football insider, Kevin Payne. Brought to you by the Q Club of Wisconsin, Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Catch all your sports action and enjoy their award-winning fish fry every Wednesday and Friday.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. The man of the hour is Kevin Payne. RotoWire.com taking your fantasy football questions for Week 10 already. Casey Payne 26. You find him on Twitter. So again, tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Use the hashtag AskKevin. You can email us live at 1057FMTheFan.com. And you can call us 414-799-1250. Kevin Payne, good morning, man. How you been?
I've been doing good, Bart. What's going on?
Oh, just ready to see the Packers somehow blow it against the Dolphins. But other than that, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I like where they're at this week, though. I mean, it's been a little bit rougher than the last couple of weeks, but I think this is a good spot for them to rebound and really, you know, win this game pretty easily.
I think a big question regarding the Packers, and we'll get to some calls here in like 20 seconds, but Marquez Valdes-Scantling, where does he rank among receivers this week? Because I know a lot of people are looking at him, maybe if they had him on the waiver wire or if they've had him for a while, this might be a good week to play him.
Yeah, I think you do. I think at least he's a flex spot. You got four teams on bye this week, so that kind of narrows, you know, where he ranks. I would imagine, gosh, he's got to be around 40th at the position, somewhere around there. And this is, what, three games in a row he comes into this with a catch of 40 yards or more? So I don't see any reason why you wouldn't play him at least as your flex or probably your number two wide receiver this week.
Let's go out to TJ in Greenfield, 799-1250. Questions for Kevin Payne, Fantasy Football. What's up, TJ?
Guys, I need two of these three non-PPR receivers. Robert Woods, Tyler Boyd, or Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It comes down to Woods or Fitzgerald. I think you have to go with Tyler Boyd. That game should be a shootout. If you want to beat New Orleans, you do it through the air. Very bad against the pass, good against the run. I'm going to probably say out of all these guys, I think you sit Fitz. Just because Woods is kind of the 1A receiver for the Rams, and Fitz, he had, I know before the bye, he had a big game. They've got a new offensive coordinator, but I'm still a little bit worried about his production, looking at his game logs for the season. So go ahead and sit Larry Fitzgerald.
Zach could start Mitch Trubisky, as he tweets in at the Fan. Or should he pick up Eli or Nick Mullins?
Yeah, I don't trust Nick Mullins. It's a great story, him coming out, third-string quarterback. Look, he did it against the Raiders. The Raiders are terrible on defense. I actually think the Giants are a sneaky defense to stream this week against Mullins. I don't trust Eli either, though. I would go with Mitch Trubisky, who really quietly has made a lot of fantasy points this season using his legs and running. I'm not worried about the Detroit defense, so I would go with Mitch Trubisky out of those three.
Richard, half-point PPR, John Ross or Tyrell Williams?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I do love the matchup, though, for Tyrell Williams. Again, Oakland is terrible. So I do like John Ross going forward now that we know A.J. Green's going to be out at least a couple weeks, possibly longer. But I would go with Tyrell Williams here. Big wide receiver in Phillip Rivers, and those receivers should have their way against this Oakland defense.
Actually, I edited that email because in the email he said it's a 14-team league. Look, I don't care how big your league is. I don't care who you have on a bye. You don't have to justify your questions. If you have a question, it's okay to ask. I got Rodgers on a bye. I need. No one cares. Just ask your question. Okay, rant over. Let's go to Ben in Greendale. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Non-PPR flex question, Trey Burton or Devin Funchess?
Devin Funchess, if you take a look, and I was watching this last week because I recommended him for DFS, Devin Funchess got tackled twice at the one-yard line last week, or else he was going to be in line for a big day. The schedule bodes very well for Carolina down the stretch for the receivers and for the passing game. I would go with Devin Funchess tonight in Pittsburgh.
Got an email from Josh, 2 of 3 PPR. Aaron Jones, Jordan Howard, Mark Ingram.
I think at this point, you probably go ahead and sit Ingram. The Cincinnati Bengals give up the worst, most passing yards per game, 319 in the league. So I think this is a big game for Drew Brees, not necessarily for the running attack. And Jordan Howard, I think, has scored in 3 straight games. Jones should have his way against the Miami defense that has given up some huge games this season to opposing running backs. So I go Jones and Howard and sit Ingram.
Keith, 2 of 3, half-point PPR, sit one of these. Valdez-Scantling, Matt Breida, Kenny Galladay.
I'm still going back to the Galladay well. I know he's had a couple of rough weeks. Things can only get better. I know it's not the greatest matchup in Chicago, but I'm going to sit Breida out of these three. This guy seems to get hurt every game, but he never misses a game. It's a really weird dynamic there. And look, the Giants defense, as I said, I think they're a sneaky streamer play. They've had an extra week off. They get another day because it's a Monday night game. So sit Breida out of those three.
Brian tweets in at the Fan, do I start MVS, Valdez-Scantling, or Golden Tate in a PPR league?
Tough one. Dallas' defense is actually decent. They've lost Sean Lee, though, for 4 to 6 weeks. I'm going to say go with Tate in this one. He's torched the Dallas defense earlier this season, so he seems to know where the soft spots in that defense are. I think that they're going to go out, especially coming out of the bye week. I think they'll make it an effort to get him the ball. So go with Golden Tate, although I do like MVS this week as well.
414-799-1250, Fantasy Football Help with Kevin Payne. Let's go to Sean in Racine. What's up, Sean?
Standard scoring quarterback question, Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers. I think you just go ahead and play it. See, well, Deshaun Watson's on bye. Real easy. Every week. Do you have somebody call in to test me to see if I know the teams that are on bye, Bart?
Yes, it's a plant.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson's on bye. Don't need to worry about that one. I was trying to think who's Houston playing, then it's kicked in that he's on bye. So easy call there. Go with Aaron Rodgers.
I think that's why there's some Nick Mullins questions this week, because of that. Arnell's in Greenfield. What's up, Arnell?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How you been?
Pretty good, you?
Oh, good. What's your question?
I got David Johnson or James White. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah, tough one. I mean, you must have a heck of another running back if your question comes down to David Johnson or James White. I would go with James White. I mean, he's basically the getting a lot of touches out of the backfield. He can do it in the passing game. He can do it running the ball. I would go with James White, although I do love David Johnson. Must be a very small league, 8 or 10 teams to be asking that question. I would try to fit both in your lineup, but White I slightly prefer.
John wants to know via Twitter, flex spot, 1 point PPR, Fournette, Chris Thompson, Duke Johnson, Valdez-Scantling.
I would go with Valdez-Scantling in this one in a full point PPR. And Duke Johnson, look, it was nice to see him get more involved in the offense, but I'm not sure if that was due to game flow or the opponent, and he's not going to catch 100% of his targets like he did last week. So it's kind of a toss-up there. I would go Duke or MVS. Slight lean to MVS, though.
Daniel says Jordan Howard or Marlon Mack?
Jordan Howard. Marlon Mack's going up against Jaguars defense coming off the bye. I do like Marlon Mack for the rest of the season, but I'm a little bit wary of the matchup today.
Let's go out to Jim, who's in Menominee Falls. What's up, Jim?
Hi. Kenny Galladay or Amari Cooper?
Yeah, I do like the fact that they're trying to get Cooper the ball, but I think the upside's still with Galladay. I mean, when Cooper, his floor is very low. I think he has something like 5 games dating. If you look at this season and last season, it's only 5 games where he's had less than 10 yards receiving. So I would go with Galladay. I'm still going to go back to that well. things are only going to get better. There's a week coming with Kenny Golladay where he's going to go for like 150 yards and two touchdowns, and that could be this week.
414-799-1250. You can get in that way. Let's go to Tony, who's in Cudahy. What's up, Tony?
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good. You?
Quick question. I got three running backs. Need two. I have Chubb from Cleveland, Mack from Indianapolis, and Davis from Seattle. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, I do like Davis this week. I don't see how Chris Carson's going to play. He should be the main ball carrier, and we saw the running backs have a good game against a tough Rams defense. So I would go with Chubb, who I like a lot. I think he's getting a lot of touches. Atlanta's defense is banged up. I'm going with Chubb and Davis in this one. Again, I do like Mack. It's just that the Jacksonville defense I'm a little bit concerned about.
Cody, Greg Olsen, Jared Cook, 1 point PPR.
Olsen. Cook, he's got his role, and this is a good problem to have each and every week. But Olsen's still that safety blanket, made that fantastic catch last week. Seems to be finding the end zone and seems to be healthy. So I like Olsen this, between the two of them.
And then one from my friend on Twitter, Wisconsin Disney Dad, needs two of four. Randall Cobb, Humphreys, Corey Davis, or Allen Robinson needs two of four.
Allen Robinson practiced yesterday, so he should be a go. I like him, and I like Corey Davis. Tennessee's going to have to throw him, put up some numbers. He's getting a lot of targets from Mariota. So Humphreys, I know he had the big game last week. I think that was a little bit fluky, and there's a lot of mouths to feed in the passing attack there. And Randall Cobb, basically, he's down to third fiddle. So he might occasionally have the big game, but he really hasn't done a lot since week one. So Corey Davis and Allen Robinson out of those four.
Kevin, the rest of the weekend, they can reach you on Twitter and find you, rotowire.com.
Yeah, get a hold of me on Twitter, at Casey Payne, P-A-Y-N-E-2-6. Just make sure you're following me. Feel free to unfollow in the off season so I can direct message you back. I always get, one or two tweets a week where somebody's not following me. I'm not going to answer those questions. I'm not going to fill up my timeline with questions about your fantasy team, but I'm happy to direct message you. I answer each and every question, comes straight from me. So get a hold of me through Twitter or check us out at rotowire.com.
Kevin, appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good, Bart. Have a good one.
Kevin Payne joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. When we come back, we'll have a report from Mike Clemens and the one thing Bill Belichick said about Aaron Rodgers that maybe we're ignoring. Coming up next on The Fan.
Now, a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are getting ready to host the Dolphins Sunday here at Lambeau Field. The game was flexed up to a 3:25 start. Aaron Rodgers, whose completion percentage is way down, says there's a reason he's throwing away so many passes.
I think this guy's being open. If the guy's open, I'm going to pull the trigger. But if guys are covered and I can't extend it, then you have to find a place to go with the ball. That's our guys or nobody's.
At 3-4-1, Randall Cobb says the pressure is on.
We definitely need some momentum. We need to get a win. I can tell you this isn't fun. It's very frustrating.
Right tackle Brian Bulaga was limited in practice after leaving Sunday night's game in New England with a knee injury. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick was mic'd up during the game. You can hear him on the sidelines telling his defense to kick the bleep out of the Packers' guards and go after Rodgers.
Hey, the pass rush is what we want. Keep working the out of those guards, keep him in a pocket. He's trying to throw us two interceptions now. We're going to get one. All right, he's just lobbing it up there.
The clip from NFL Films, Packers Mike McCarthy's reaction.
There's things that are said on both sidelines too. So mic'd up or not mic'd up. And I think more importantly, there's a mindset and approach and everything. So, we're trying to kick the shit out of everybody's guards too when we play. That's the reality of the game of football.
For more team coverage, go to 1057fmthefan.com.
Good stuff from Mike Clemens. As always, you can follow him on Twitter, Mike Clemens NFL, again on Twitter. Updates throughout the day, weekend, season with Clemens. There was one part of that clip that Jerry tweeted in and asked about. He said, why is everybody talking about the guard portion of that. When Bill Belichick is talking to his defensive line,
keep working the out of those guards. Keep him in a pocket. He's trying to throw us two interceptions now. We're going to get one. All right, he's just lobbing it up there.
Jerry asked on Twitter again, when has an opposing coach ever talked about Rodgers that way, where he's just lobbing it up there? And, you know, it is kind of startling if, Bill Belichick is looking at Aaron Rodgers like he's just an average guy and not Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I mean, Belichick is only going by what he sees. And he saw that Rodgers was not getting a lot of zip on his balls. So, no disrespect. And I think even asking Mike McCarthy about it, well, I mean, McCarthy's right. That stuff happens on both sides. You could, I mean, just because Belichick is saying, well, he's just lobbing it. He's throwing the ball up there. He's lobbing it up there. It's not disrespectful. He's just telling him what he sees up there and what's better. He didn't say, oh, Aaron Rodgers is terrible. We need to put pressure. That guy's nothing back there. I mean, if he says that, that's a little different. But if he says he's lobbing it up there, that's exactly what was happening.
This Bill Belichick clip is getting a lot of attention, and I think one of the reasons is it's just access. I think people like to see the different sides of what a game is like, especially down on the field. And that's something that what I told Michael Cohen was, and I get it, you know, McCarthy's a play caller, so he's invested in that. Bill Belichick lets other guys call his offense and his defense. But to see Belichick like that, it just, you don't see McCarthy that engaged during a game. So you wonder, is it better to call the plays? Is it better not to call the plays? Because McCarthy tried that and it really didn't work, because Clay Matthews came off the field in that 2014 NFC Championship game, our first reference of that for the day, and he had no idea that he was off the field because he's so sucked into his Perkins menu.
Isn't that the first time that we've seen Belichick do that, though? I mean, usually you see him on the sideline. He's standing there. He's got the headset on, and he's looking out at his team. We don't see him often going to his bench and doing that. I mean, that's I don't know. Maybe I haven't seen enough Patriot games, but that's, I think I've seen them play plenty, you know, the Jim Nance games. So, hearing that, that's the first time I ever heard it. Belichick talk to his guys like that.
I've seen a lot from Brady. I have seen from Belichick.
Doing that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you watch the NFL film stuff.
All right.
Especially during the Super Bowls.
Okay, I get maybe that, but I, okay, because I have not seen a lot of him. Them showing him on CBS, going over and talking to his teams. Usually,
no, not during a game. You got to seek it out after.
Okay.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Like crowd show. I get what you're saying.
Yes, during the course of the game.
Yeah,
but
you're right. During a game, they don't.
But
really
NFL
show
films, maybe I haven't seen as much as you.
This was not shown during a game.
No.
Right.
No. Now, do they? Have you seen Packer NFL film stuff?
I've never seen Mike McCarthy talk during a game to players like that.
On the NFL films. Okay.
On NFL films, yeah. Live at a game.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't know.
Here, I'll tell you this. When I go to Seattle next Thursday for the Packer game, I will buy the ticket and I will not even watch the game. I'll just watch McCarthy and see what he does.
I'm going to check that out, though, Sunday. I'm going to the game Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll see if he does.
Yeah, track McCarthy a little bit.
I'll see how much he talks to his players.
A lot on McCarthy, a lot on Aaron Rodgers, too. So a little bit of an exercise, because we keep saying, Rodgers, well, of course he's still a top five quarterback. Is he? We'll play a little game next. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.